How awesome is God Most High, the great sovereign over all the earth. Come, we who love God, and let our joys be known.
There is a song in our hearts. There are untold melodies on our lips. For our God is worthy of songs, praise, and delight.
O God, our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Real power and sovereign majesty is the name of our God.
God is in this house. God reigns with power and love.
Our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God. Say amen.
Amen.
Friends, the peace of Christ be with you.
Also with you.
Now share that peace one with another. Friends, if you seek to live a life of meaning and of purpose, then welcome to Old South Church, because that is what we try to do, though God knows we rarely get it right. If you seek to live in love and fellowship with God and all God's people, then welcome to Old South Church, for that is our guiding star, though it is far from us and we have not arrived. Welcome to this sanctuary in the city. Welcome to this house and home of God. May you experience here mystery, mercy, grace, meaning, and music. Friends, if on this St. Patrick's Day we are all Irish, amen,
amen,
let it also be that in the wake of the massacres at two New Zealand mosques, let it be that we are also all Muslim today, amen.
Amen.
The friendship pads are found at the aisle end of every pew. If you would, pick one up and pass it on to those sitting next to you. If you write enough, we will write you back. And thank you for joining us in worship this day. The announcements are printed on the white insert. A reminder that today we have two amazing opportunities at 12:30, a musical journey through Lent with Del Case on the second floor, and on the fourth floor? Where? In Guild Room's fourth floor, dialogue on the intra-racial church with Deb Washington. Today, I am especially delighted to welcome to Old South Church and to our pulpit an old friend of Old South, a former minister of this church, Ron Buford. If you don't know Ron, I want you to know this. He is an entrepreneurial pastor, always thinking, always opportunistic about how to get the gospel the next leg down the road. He is the inventor of the United Church of Christ, God is Still
Speaking,
which was one of the most successful campaigns across our church. It just fits exactly with who we are. Ron is the one who started that. While serving at Old South Church, Ron launched what has become our annual Phyllis Wheatley Sunday with our promenade to the statue of our member, and also launched our Ash Wednesday Ashes to Go initiative, which means we are marked and changed and shaped by Ron and will be forever. Ron currently serves as the pastor of the Sunnyvale UCC Church in Sunnyvale, California, where he launched another initiative that has attracted international attention, Racists Anonymous. Ron argues that America's slave legacy and near annihilation of Native peoples makes racism inescapable in our nation. Inescapable. None of us escapes it. Inescapable, but not irreversible. Ron Buford, welcome home. Welcome back. God is good.
All the time?
Let us worship our all the time good God.
Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. The reading comes from the Gospel according to Luke, the 9th chapter, verses 28 to 43. Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, Peter, James, and John saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to Jesus. They appeared in glory and were speaking of Jesus' departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was alone. Peter, James, and John kept silent and told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they came down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. A man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You foolish and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While the boy was being brought, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. May God enlighten our hearing with understanding.
You may be seated. Good morning, Old South Church.
Good morning.
It's good to see you again. It's a good thing to be here in this great house of worship with some of the finest clergy in our whole denomination, in fact, and beyond. The work of Nancy Taylor and John Edgerton among the other staff is outstanding and noteworthy all around the country. It is good to be home. Let us pray. Gracious God, help us to be masters of ourselves that we may rightly be the servants of others. Take our eyes and help us to see the new possibilities in you that you set before us. Take our ears and open them to hear the call of the still speaking God in our midst. But most of all, oh God, take our hearts Take our hearts and set them on fire for you. In the name of the Christ we pray. And everyone said, Amen. As we reflect this morning on divine pushers or blockers, I'm reminded of a story of a woman who, after a somewhat lengthy illness, found herself at heaven's gate. As the woman looked in, and all looked so beautiful, she immediately asked the gatekeeper, "How do I get in?" The gatekeeper looked at her and smiled and said, "You only have to spell a word." She said, "What's the word?" He said, "The word is love." She spelled the word and entered. About a year and a half later, the gatekeeper asked the same woman if she would guard the gate for the day. The woman was quite honored and said yes immediately. While watching the gate that day, to her surprise, her husband arrived. And he was also surprised to find his wife guarding heaven's gate. "How have you been?" she asked her husband. He told her that after she had died, he had missed her, but that the 28-year-old who had helped him care for her, and he had gotten involved, and they got married. He said, "And we sold the little house that you and I lived in, and we bought a bigger house. And then, as fate would have it, I hit the lotto. So for the last year, we've been traveling all around the world. And on this trip, I just went water skiing and fell and hit my head, and well, here I am. Oh, by the way, how do I get in?" She smiled, looked at him tenderly, and said, "You only have to spell a word." "What's the word?" he asked. "Czechoslovakia," she said. We are all divine pushers or blockers. In the Bible lesson we read, we heard that Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to the mountain and went to pray. And as Jesus was praying, the face of Jesus began to be illuminated, and his clothes became radiant. And Moses and Elijah then appeared and were talking with Jesus. And the disciples were so transfixed on all the drama and the lighting and everything that was going on that Peter suggested that they build monuments to this moment for each of them right there on that spot. We do often like to memorialize such moments. But a voice spoke from heaven, ignoring the suggestion that they build monuments. And the voice boomed, "This is my son, my chosen, listen to him." After all of this, they went back down the mountain to their day-to-day lives. And there they come upon a father in extreme anxiety over his son, who appears to have epilepsy. Jesus' disciples had been unable to cure him. And now this father has come to Jesus in desperation. And Jesus isn't happy. In fact, Jesus is downright angry. Why is Jesus angry? I believe the text suggests that Jesus is angry because after his discussions with Moses and Elijah about what's going to happen to him and how he's going to have to wrap up his ministry, he's asking the question, "Can I leave my ministry to these jerks? Will they be able to cast out the evil?" Can they bring healing to a sick world and the discomfited? Will they have the sort of compassion that will move them to heal the sons and daughters of those whose hearts are broken, seeing the conditions of their children? Are these followers, are they divine pushers or blockers? So after this wonderful mountaintop high, this feeling of being in the presence of God, they find themselves still incapable of being relevant in the moment. They were unable to cast out the illness of this young man or the angst of this concerned father. Ever feel that way? Ever feel burdened by the politics in the world, by the addiction challenges of your children, by the unfaithfulness of partners, by the unruliness of teenagers, or the challenges of caring for elderly parents? Are these sorts of challenges weighing you down? This story is here in Luke's gospel for a reason. It's Luke's gospel that opens with Mary's Magnificat, who proclaimed that God is going to lift the lowly and fill the hungry with good things. It's in Luke's gospel that Jesus begins his ministry and declares that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to bring good news and deliverance to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free. But not today. Do you ever feel discouraged and powerless at the direction of our nation, especially considering the great progress we thought we had made regarding our nation's racism? And yet here we go again with the Ku Klux Klan growing, with white supremacists, and with the normalizing of hate. At times, we are like this young man, paralyzed as if by a demon, thrown into the fires of life. But I believe this story offers us hope, hope that we might become pushers and not blockers of God's divine plan and power for the world. First, this story reminds us that the true source of our power is prayer. While the disciples were watching the power dynamics and the lighting and everything that's going all around them, Jesus, our chief clue to who God is in human form, was praying. Secondly, Jesus was fearless and spoke with authority over the evil before him, which we must also do, even in the face of the utmost uncertainty. And that is so much a part of the history of historic Old South Church. Nearly 350 years ago, the people who founded Old South Church were pushers, not blockers. Pushers, not blockers, who risked changing the rules concerning baptism so that more people could be baptized, such as slaves. That's the reason Phyllis Wheatley was able to be baptized in this church without her owners having brought her. At the Boston Tea Party, it was people from Old South Church who put that tea in the harbor to protest. They were pushers, not blockers. Samuel Sewell, judge, one of the judges in the Salem witch trials, repented his error and stood in the public square all day, repenting annually for what his role had been in that. But that's not all. He wrote the first anti-slavery tract in the New World called The Selling of Joseph. He wrote the first pro-woman and pro-Native tracts as well. Ahead of his time, he was a pusher, not a blocker. In recent years, this church became a pusher of open and affirming to gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender persons. But not only that, you also became engaged in the struggle for the rights of those sexually abused by the church, its leaders, and your pastor, the Reverend Dr. Nancy Taylor, was chief among those in helping build new guidelines and insisting that clergy and priests be accountable. Your groundbreaking work, Nancy Taylor, is being used internationally today. Thank you. Pusher, not a blocker. And in this moment, my friends, we must dare to think it is not too big a dream to not merely manage racism, but to eliminate it. We cannot live with any discrimination by any of us to anyone else. I've come to the conclusion that our continuing battle with racism is there because we are all, in fact, a little bit racist. It's kind of like when you go out and you walk the dog, you come in the house and you say, "I smell something." What is that? It's you. You tracked it in. And that smell is with you. And so it is with racism. We've all been impacted and infected by it. We've been taught it in subtle ways. And it's going to take mindfulness for us to unload it. By our own acceptance of racism, we become pushers of discrimination. We have to stop treating the symptoms and start treating the disease. We must all stop viewing others negatively on the basis of any exterior difference. We redefine racism that way. It's not black, white. It's not based on race, but it's based on external difference and the ways we judge people differently in a variety of ways. Jesus was frustrated with his followers, perhaps wondering what they would do. But after Jesus was taken from them, they ultimately came through. And you and I are facing some similar issues of bondage, and our society is paralyzed by greed, selfishness, narcissism, covetousness. But we can get free, and we can help free others. We can eliminate racism, perhaps in our lifetime, but certainly within 2 to 3 generations. Would you like to end racism?
Yes.
Well, let's get to it. I believe the 12-step program can help us be more mindful of our own racism, and by focusing on our own racism rather than the racism of others, I believe we can eliminate racism in our time. Will you bow your heads and pray with me? All gracious and most holy God, we are infected with the racism we so badly want to eliminate. And we ask, oh God, that you would be present with us and help us to be mindful of our racism and help us eliminate our own racism and sexism and all the things that cause us to treat other people differently based on exterior appearance. We know that the ways that we eliminate others from opportunity actually slows the coming kingdom of God in our midst. And we ask that you free us from this practice and sin, and we will work toward it. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.
Would you rise as you are able and join a litany of racial reconciliation? And I would ask that we all turn towards the south, east, which is the point of the continent of Africa. Oh God, it was in an African garden that you created the human family.
Water streaming ran, plants, animals, and all of nature were one.
Who are we that you should have made us in your image, crowning us with glory and giving us the freedom to make choices?
Through human freedom, your original intent was to dream upon.
From that moment of transgression and separation, you have constantly sought to find us, to forgive us, and to bring us back to you.
Dear God, forgive our disobedience.
Under watchful eyes, Moses led your people out of Egypt while you guided your children through the wilderness. The Hebrew boys escaped the fiery furnace. Likewise, you guided African Americans through the perils of enslavement and brutality.
Forgive those who accept ideas of racial inferiority and prejudice.
Our leaders have taught us how to love in the face of hatred. We therefore seek reconciliation and not revenge.
We extend love and fellowship to all who, like us, are created in your image.
God, you sought to repair the damage done in the garden by sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to reconcile us to you and to each other.
Thank you for the mystery of reconciliation that lifts our spirits.
Help us to forgive those who need peace and healing, and grant us a clearer understanding of your truth.
Give us courage to stand against those who would continue to sow evil, and may our lives point others to respect, equality, and dignity.
Thank you. God be with you. May the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts.
Christ is our peace, our life, and our hope.
Let us pray. O God, this week has fallen like a series of blows on an already bruised heart. O God, this world so full of heartbreak, it inures us, deadens us, numbs us to fresh outrage. O God, we confess that we are getting too good at this. At prayer vigils, at lighting candles, at reaching out in love to our kindred who are hurting. Oh God, we wish we were not so well practiced. Oh God, for all of those whose loved ones were lost in the airplane crash, for all of those who are now afraid to travel, for those whose loved ones were injured or killed in the terrible shooting in New Zealand, God, we lift all these before you. You, O God, whose heart we confess we cannot understand. How could you hold all this? We cannot. We cannot understand the depths of your heart. For our siblings who know you by another name, whose daily schedule of prayer is not the same as ours, but who also trace their ancestry to Adam, to the garden, to those whose own ancestor was the very first to hear the sound of you, your footsteps walking through the earth at the time of the evening breeze. For our siblings of the Muslim faith, O God, we pray particularly today, that they should be the target of white supremacist hatred, O God. It is heartbreaking to consider the ways that our own actions, our own behaviors exist on some sort of terrible continuum with the actions of that coward with a gun. It is chilling to the spirit. We confess it would be easier to deny, to pretend that we do not share one blood with that man. Yet, O God, we confess that we have become too good at this. That we have come to know what to do, how to reach out. Oh God, we pray that your spirit, that your holy power would be with us as we seek to know what to do, that our children might have no idea what they ought to do upon hearing such news. We pray that our grandchildren, upon hearing such news, would be shocked to their very core and have nothing to which to compare it. Oh God, for that world, we pray. God, set our feet on paths of righteousness that might be on the road towards such a world. Oh God, we leave to you and trust to you the fulfillment of this work. But we dare not leave to you the beginning of such work. Bless us with some share of the healing of this world, that for your glory, for your name's sake, people might look back at this and say, it was the people of faith who helped us then. For your glory, O God. O God, in the midst of a world of heartbreak, we are grateful that we may turn to you in prayer, and that when the demons of the world seem so much beyond our power, we can remember the words of your Son Jesus, who said, this kind of demon can only be cast out through prayer. And so, O God, your children now turn to you in prayer in these quiet moments. Listen now to these prayers of your people offered before you and you alone. And now, O God, we join our voices as we join our spirits to the saints of ages gone by and the saints who are yet to be born, who are living in the world of which we can only dream, praying the very same words, the prayer your Son taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
God's grace, our world has more wonder than trouble. By God's grace, we are gifted with hope and resilience. By God's grace, love and life will triumph. And we are invited into joyful communion with God and all God's people as we give our offerings in a holy gesture of thanksgiving. This morning's offering will now be given and received.
There's a great camp meeting.
There's a great camp meeting. Oh, a great camp meeting in the promised land. Oh,
but God, the children, don't you get weary. But God, the children, don't you get weary. Just go on.
Pray. Generous God, we have received from you more than our share of blessings, and we thank you. Now increase and multiply our gifts, we pray, that others may feast from your goodness through our witness. Amen.
Thank you.
South Church, let us go forth from this place knowing that God is able to overcome our racism, the world's racism, and transform it into love and power. In the name of God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and of the Holy Spirit, let us go forth as liberators of God. Amen.
Amen.